All right, well, let's get back to the hotline. Because if it's dark, well, we need to brighten things up a little bit. And between the three of us, the brightest guy in the bunch is the guy on the hotline right now, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, but that's a stretch, man.
Those who have tuned in on Fridays at 3:40 for the past year and change know that's certainly no joke, my friend. You are most definitely the brightest bulb in this bunch. What that says, I'm not quite sure, but I digress. Last Friday, we got into speaking of some NBA odds after free agency opened up, and you and I got to texting back and forth on Saturday afternoon, and you said, I guess we spoke a little bit too soon on these NBA odds. So how much have things changed since the news broke last weekend in regards to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard teaming up in Los Angeles to play for the Clippers?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Lakers went from team most likely to win the NBA championship to not even the most likely team in their own city. Now the Los Angeles Clippers are the favorites, about 3-1 the return on that. Lakers about 4-1. So I guess they're just going to pay homage to Rage Against the Machine with the Battle of Los Angeles here in the Western Conference Finals next season. But you know what? What's really interesting about it is that because you've got the Clippers and the Lakers now, and you still have a team like Denver, you know, obviously Golden State and Houston, plenty capable of going on a nice run, what it really speaks to is how few teams in the Eastern Conference actually really have a shot at winning the NBA title now. The Bucks are 5-1, the Sixers are 8-1, then you go all the way down to Boston at 20-1. So the Clippers jumping from that 15 or 20-1 range down to the favorite kind of spread things out a little bit in the West. But it really narrowed the focus in the East. So I think that's one of the byproducts of this, you know, Kawhi Leonard thing that a lot of people aren't really talking about, that you know, the Eastern Conference right now just it doesn't look like it can hold a candle to the West for the most part.
There's no debating that whatsoever. I mean, if you were to look at a few teams in the East outside of Milwaukee, you know, I mean, I guess the 76ers might put a scare into some, but certainly they're a little bit different without Jimmy Butler. And, of course, there are rumors about who might join him down in Miami. But really, outside of Milwaukee, are there really any slam dunks out in the East?
No, not really. I mean, you know, Brooklyn, who we talked about last week, no Kevin Durant for this year, so it doesn't really help them a whole lot. If Miami is able to finish off the deal for Russ, and I imagine that they probably will, Miami probably drops somewhere in the 15-1 or 20-1 type of range, but even still, that's on par with Boston, Brooklyn, Toronto. I think the Pacers are probably a team that has a pretty decent you know, value price in the 30-35-1 range. They're a very well-coached team. They're a very solid team. Obviously, of course, Victor Oladipo coming off of a major injury of his own, though. So, I think that, you know, right now you're kind of looking at the Bucks and the Sixers and then pretty much everybody else. So, as of right now, as of us talking here in mid-July, I don't think there's anybody other than Milwaukee or Philadelphia in the East.
I think it's very difficult to dispute that, no question about it. And, you know, something we can get into maybe next week or in the weeks leading up to the season. I know they've released some odds on teams that will and won't make the playoffs as well, especially pretty early for that. But still, I think that'll be something we can discuss certainly a little bit later on. We'll transition from the hardwood onto the golf course, my friend. Caesars posted odds for the American Century Championship. This is the celebrity golf tournament. It started today. And there are some cool names on this list. There are also some very, very interesting long shots, including a guy that I think is hilarious. I enjoy watching him and everything he's in. And Rob Riggle at 3,000-1. Charles Barkley at 7,500-1. Last year, apparently, he shot the equivalent of 100 over par, yet still, there's a lot of money on him to win the whole thing this year. That seems really unusual.
Some people just like to watch their money burn. I don't know. I mean, you're better off playing the Powerball or the Mega Millions or something at that point. This is a really interesting tournament. You know, obviously, it's a very lighthearted event. Lots of fun being had with all these, you know, really a lot of guys, professional athletes, you know, coaches, stuff like that. So a lot of guys that, you know, probably are pretty good. I mean, if you think about a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, you know, he's got a hole-in-one to his name. I know there was a lot of talk about that on social media when he did it. I know Mark Mulder, the former A's and Cardinals pitcher, is an outstanding golfer. He was the second favorite at 3-1. You've got a lot of hockey players who, you know, obviously they have plenty of time to golf with not much going on in the offseason. So I mean, a lot of interesting names. And the only thing that it really is for me is that I'm just jealous of these guys that not only were they pro in one sport, but they're probably really good at golf, too, and I'm awful at it.
It's not fair, is it? I mean, that's the thing. Some guys were just given all of these gifts. Who was the country music guy you were telling me about last week?
Cole Ford, yeah. He was a pro golfer, but he doesn't strike you as somebody. It makes sense to me, particularly hockey players, though. I mean, that means you've got to have good hand-eye coordination to hit a puck that's coming your way. I would think you'd be able to hit a sitting golf ball.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the one guy here on this list, Justin Timberlake at 75-1.
Wow.
I mean, this is one that just irritates me. Good-looking dude, great actor, can dance. The list of women he's been with is off the charts. And apparently he's not a bad golfer either. There's got to be something he can't do, right?
Right. And or there's got to be some skeletons in his closet, right? Jesus.
And deal with
man.
The devil.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's just not fair that sometimes there are guys out there that just get everything. Everything, man. It's just not fair. There's some other interesting long shots. Andy Dalton at 500-1. Roger Clemens at 1,000-1,
wow,
unless he misremembers which tee box he's supposed to hit from. But Marcus Allen at 2,000-1 also. And this would just be a lot of fun, I think, to watch, especially the long shots, because some of the long shots that are going off at 2,000, 3,000, and in Barkley's case, 7,500-1. Like, if you're even a casual golfer, if you see people like that golfing, doesn't that at least give you a little bit of confidence?
Yeah, a little bit. I got Johnny Damon. He's 5,000-1. I didn't even know Johnny Damon was still doing anything. But, man, it's a very interesting list of names, to say the least. And the funny thing is, some of these real long-shot guys, we just talked about, you know, guys that excelled at one sport, seem to be really good at golf. You would think a guy like Steve Young would be a better golfer than to be 3,000-1 in this event. I mean, what has he been doing for the last 20 years?
Been on TV, right? That's basically it. Yeah, I mean, outside of being on TV, you're right. What else has he been up to? But this isn't the only golf tournament going on this weekend. There's actually one not too far from here, a senior tour down at Firestone. And also there's the John Deere Classic. That also started earlier today. Anybody in particular you like in that John Deere Classic?
Well, you know, actually the best players are over at the Scottish Open already, because next week is the Open Championship in Northern Ireland. So a lot of really good players went over to play the European Tour event this week. So the John Deere Classic is a bunch of guys that are either trying to get into the Open Championship because they're not in it yet, or a lot of young players like a Joaquin Niemann. Victor Hovland was a guy who was actually the favorite here this week. You know, so as far as guys that I liked for that, Sam Ryder was a guy that I kind of looked at early on as a guy that has pretty consistent stats across the board in a field where you don't have a lot of consistency. Some guys hit it a mile, can't make a putt. Some guys can make a putt, they can't hit a fairway. That's kind of what this field looks like overall. Ryder goes 4-under today. He's 3 shots off the pace. So he was a guy that I liked early on here. Lucas Glover was another one who, a bigger name, but has very good stats this year. He played very well today. You know, those are a couple of guys that I was looking at for this tournament here in Illinois. And you know, what's interesting is that a lot of these guys in this tournament will play the alternate event next week and then the alternate event to the WGC event in 2 or 3 weeks, whenever that is. So these guys will get a crack at another victory here in some of those lesser quality fields.
Quick question, not necessarily related to sports handicapping, but because we're on the topic of golfing, we talked about this a little bit during yesterday's show. If you had the opportunity to golf in one of these two tournaments that we just discussed, either the American Century Championship or the John Deere Classic, I feel like this is a no-brainer. Which one would you rather golf in?
Well, I'm going to embarrass myself either way. So at least if I played the American Century Championship, I get to say, you know, I played with some ex-former athlete or some current athlete, or, you know, at least got to see those people up close. So I would have to say the celebrity event. And you know what? I might be able to outshoot Charles Barkley, so at least there's that.
Yeah. You make yourself look a little bit better. And at the same time, you would have a heck of a lot of fun. And I'm guessing that a lot of these guys and some of these females in this field as well, yeah, they're out there to compete. I mean, but at the same time, a lot of them, they know they're not very good. So they're out there just to have fun, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, think of the stories that you would just, if you're an eavesdropper, and I mean, you kind of have to be in that sort of environment, think of the stories you would hear that you could retell down the line. And hey, whether people believe you or not, if it mattered, it, or, you know, if it happened, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, bingo. Absolutely. Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's get into some baseball talk. And I want to run through some of the research that you revealed on Shane Bieber on Twitter a couple of days ago. And there were some really interesting numbers that I want you to share. For those that don't follow Adam on Twitter, you should, at Skating Tripods. That's at Skating Tripods. I'm sure there's a story behind that. We'll get into that in a different day. But, you know, as he goes deeper into games, Shane Bieber seems to get stronger and stronger, and his numbers, as you detailed earlier, are much better, second and especially this year, third time through the order than they were a season ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is the true reason for the Shane Bieber breakout this season, is that in 2018, he allowed a .319 batting average with a .346 on base percentage and a .563 slugging percentage the third time through the order. 22.1% strikeout rate, very good walk rate. He just doesn't walk anybody. We all already know that. But this year, the third time through the order, a .191 batting average against, .226 on base, .336 slugging percentage, almost the same number of batters faced from last year, only 10 fewer this year, but the strikeout rate is up 10.4%. And what this basically is a byproduct of, two things. One, Shane Bieber's learning how to pitch at the big league level. He's learning how to sequence. He's learning how to attack hitters. He's learning how to really have a plan of attack up there when he's facing guys for a third time. The other thing is that curveball, slider, changeup combination that he's got, he has really refined that set of pitches. Last year, he was about, I think, 56 to 58% fastball. This year, he's about 45% fastball. When you're able to throw something other than the fastball, because guys will time that. You know, guys at any level of baseball nowadays can hit velocity. But when you've got those plus secondary pitches, the off-speed and breaking balls, that's the separator. That's the difference for you. And that's what Shane Bieber has going for him this season. He's been able to work deeper into games with a lot more efficiency, a lot more effectiveness. And quite frankly, I don't see this as being variance. I don't see this as being, you know, just some sort of coincidence. I think this is legitimately an ace developing right before our eyes, and that's a phenomenal thing when you consider that, you know, Trevor Bauer's probably gone here, whether it's in 2 weeks or, you know, at the end of the season. You know, you've got Corey Kluber in the aging curve as well. The development of Shane Bieber is something that really could extend the Indians' competitive window for the next 3-4 years.
Without question, and I think depending on who you chose to believe at the trading deadline last year, there were those that believed the rumors that the Indians didn't get Manny Machado because the Orioles would not do a deal unless Shane Bieber was involved. And when it came down to that, the Indians essentially said, pound salt, you know, we're not going down that road. We're not parting ways with Shane Bieber for a half a season, if that, for Manny Machado. All right. One last question for you, my friend. We have one game on the Major League Baseball slate tonight. Down in Texas, the Rangers are taking on the Astros. Lance Lynn on the slab for the Rangers. You like the Rangers over the Astros, at least for the first five line. Why is that?
Yeah, I'm not really too interested in messing around with the Houston bullpen, especially Ryan Pressly didn't work in the All-Star game, so he's rested. Roberto Osuna, same thing. Those were two guys that really carried a big workload in the first half. But as far as this game in particular tonight, as far as, you know, why I like the first five innings here, for one thing, Lance Lynn is like second or third in Fangraphs' calculation of wins above replacement player this year. He's having a phenomenal season that, you know, obviously he didn't get acknowledged for when it came to the All-Star game, but you know what? Got a nice little break. Maybe that'll help him. But Houston sent five guys to the All-Star game, three of them in the starting lineup with George Springer, Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley. Three key components of their lineup that did not get a break. Now they go to Arlington. You know it's going to be hot. You know it's going to be humid. You know it's going to be miserable. And Lance Lynn, very, very good against right-handed batters over the course of his career, this season no different. So Houston with a pretty right-handed heavy lineup to throw at him. And also just the fact that, you know, for the Astros, big division lead, trying to get back into the equation, you know, getting back into the regular season, the grind of everything. And those three guys not getting a day off. The Rangers only sending Joey Gallo. He saw one pitch and hit it out of the ballpark. So I like the Rangers a little bit tonight, at least for the first five. And I think that we could see some of those teams, like the Astros, like the Yankees, like the Dodgers, with those big division leads, kind of get off to some flat starts here in the second half.
Looking forward to the first game of the unofficial start to the second half tonight between the Rangers and the Astros. Adam, as always, we certainly appreciate you giving us some of your time. Thank you for joining us, and we'll do this again next week.
Absolutely, boys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Adam. You do the same. Again, that's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.